There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along on this Friday edition of the show. The phone number, same as it ever was, but you might be new to the show, so let's update this. 343-0106. 343-0106 for a phone call or a text. And also, a third way, if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, which is dandy, to stream the station, find out show schedules, all our podcast posts there first. You can also get all our social media feeds together in one place with any news breaking on there. And of course, the third way, you'll see a microphone icon on the bottom of the page. If you press that, it lets you record a message and it emails it to the show. You can play it back here on the air. And there's going to be a show sometime over 7 days here at FM Talk 106.5. You might want to chime in on it. Might be this show, might be the morning show, might be Jeff's show. Might be the Scuttlebutt Radio Network, might be, talking high school sports with Coach in the morning. You might want to chime in with Bill Finch on a Sunday and so many other shows. So keep that number handy, 343-0106. Plus, it will be of use this hour as well, as it's your chance to ask the sheriff. Baldwin County Sheriff Anthony Lowry joining us here. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Sean.
It is. You got your shirt on, got a little football game, you know.
Well, yeah, you know, this might be our week.
Yeah, well. Hey, listen, if it, this is coming from the graduate and fan of the University of Alabama, I don't know that I've seen that bad of officiating job done since maybe there was a kids' soccer game down at Sage Park when my eldest was like 8. It was the only one. I mean, that was. I'm on y'all's side on that one.
I get it. I go to my nephew's games and they're better officiated.
That was like.
Yeah, it's what it is, though.
But when the SEC comes out. Like, that's what you know, talk about this week. When the SEC comes out and says, we screwed up. Like, they're not, it's like that first time that mom and dad ever, I don't know if they apologized, but they said they had made a mistake. I think I was in my mid-20s, and I had that moment where I went, did I just hear?
Yeah.
Mom, did I? When I saw that from the SEC, I said, holy cow, it's a big enough deal that they actually admitted that that was not a great thing.
Yeah, yeah. One day the ball will bounce the other way is all I can say. But anyway, hopefully it's just a good weekend.
Yeah, well, we'll watch it here, and I got a little worry. I got Dan, who's this Georgia graduate.
Yeah,
that I have
and,
to deal
and he
with.
Can be obnoxious.
He can be obnoxious. He's very nice today.
No, he was. Well, good.
Condition of employment.
Right,
maybe,
right.
Maybe he stays right on it. All right, and I want folks to know, we got open text lines, phone lines to ask the sheriff questions this hour. First, I want to start off with, the latest news. I saw this theft ring that was busted. This is based out of Atlanta. Okay, so the story coming out about the, where is it? The theft ring that said, it happened, the pulled over vehicle in Loxley, multi-state theft operation. Got these two occupants there from the Atlanta area arrested on multiple burglary and theft warrants spanning Georgia, Mississippi, and Louisiana. Inside the vehicle, your deputies found high-end construction equipment valued at over $20,000, evidence suggesting the pair had been targeting vehicles across the southeast. Obviously it's not just all Baldwin County.
No, but that, we had a group, and we're still working some stuff in the south end with the group. Particularly that high end construction stuff is really hot right now.
Tools and stuff.
Yeah, high end tools. That's exactly right.
So, because I remember in the past, this has not been. Maybe something's happened recently, but there was a ring that was stealing equipment. like big stuff. Big
bulldozers and that sort of stuff. And we still, suffer from that a little bit. They get it and get it out of the state really quickly. You know, usually take it to Mississippi or somewhere like that.
Thanks, Mississippi.
Yeah. There's some hiding spots over there. But we've gotten a lot better. We've been more proactive. That's one thing that the agricultural unit, those guys have been really prominent being out in the woods, not just in the rural areas, but even going further, protecting some of those things. We partnered with the loggers up in the north end. They're doing a bunch of stuff up there to make sure.
Have they had trouble up there?
Yeah, they've historically had a lot of trouble.
Somebody goes in and gets a skidder, they're determined to go.
And you think about it, the price tag on one of those things is tremendous. So anyway, we've been really diligent all summer trying to make sure we're there, because for one, that's
how y'all know where. I mean, okay, without giving state secrets out, but I mean, you've got Baldwin County is the biggest county. Is it east of the Mississippi or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, Baldwin County.
Size of Rhode Island or something.
Yeah, if y'all didn't know that. So Baldwin County is, I think, the biggest county east of the Mississippi. And we talk about this a lot for what you have to do in covering it. But beyond that, there's a lot of folks logging. We have a dry year. Right. They're in there. How do you know where to...
Well,
it
kind of goes like everything else we do. It's really community policing. It's being there, talking to them, letting them know if they see something, say something, just like we do with any other thing. It's just in the rural setting, and it's been really effective for us. And I'll say this, the guys that are assigned to that unit, they're really high drive guys, and they're out pushing the envelope and making sure that they're staying busy. And so it's been really successful. You know, they're going to have to move a little bit from that now, Sean, because the harvest season started. Mm-hmm. Peanuts are being turned in Baldwin County. They probably at least by Sunday or Monday, they'll start turning them again after the rain. So, and then that's when, we step in, because they're going to have to start moving those harvesters from field to field to field. And you've seen those peanut wagons, all those sort of things, and they're going to need our help, the sheriff's office help, and we need the public's help in staying safe and obeying the rules of the road and understanding that they have access to the roads as well.
Yeah, it's something that's interesting that y'all are probably way wiser in Baldwin County on this than we are in Mobile County, because you've been doing it so long. But like where I live is a, I don't know, there's some fancy term, the suburban or ex-urban agricultural interface or some jazz like that. In other words, where I live, there's farming going on and there's neighborhoods too.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, farmers could be moving equipment right now, whether it's they got a spray rig or harvesting or whatever they're doing. I mean, during the year, there's big equipment has to come across Airport Boulevard one way or another. I started thinking about that when you said that. Baldwin County is just nothing but that. I mean, there's areas
of it. Yeah, absolutely. And you combine that with our beach traffic and just the general rise in population, it's tough. It's tough on farmers. You see a tractor trying to get east and west across 59 at County Road 36. I see it all the time. That's tough. And so sometimes they need help slowing down the traffic.
They call the sheriff's department?
Yeah, they can call the sheriff's office. So we've met with a lot of these farmers and at different functions. And those guys actually have the deputies' numbers, and they can call them direct. They don't have to go through dispatch, that sort of stuff.
Okay.
And so we figure that's the most efficient way to do it. And hopefully it'll work out. And
well, good. I mean, if they got questions here, I mean, not that they haven't dealt with this over the years in Mobile County, but like the area I live and then south of me, there's a lot more neighborhoods going in where there's ag. I mean, it's starting to look like part of
Mobile County. I'll tell you, Mobile County, that we actually modeled our program after them. So they have a really robust rural ag unit. It's a lot bigger than ours, actually. So they're ahead of the curve in Mobile.
Well, good, because, I mean, where you start seeing the tractor crossing signs where I live, I think people speed up. And by the way, people on the text line talk about the heavy equipment keys fitting multiple things. Yes, we know that. But I've often said, if somebody who wanted to pull one of these heists, if they go in the middle of the day, not giving the criminals have their, I'm not teaching criminals anything.
No, that's right.
If they would go in the middle of the day and just pull up in a, three-quarter ton truck and act like they've been there before, people might not get suspicious.
Yeah, they might not think anything about it. And so, especially on like a lease, you have a Texan camera or something like that. Mm-hmm. You see, it's not your property. You see a truck or something coming by pulling a piece of equipment, you wouldn't think anything about it.
The loggers coming out. They're coming in.
That's part of their business. So that's tough. But I will say on the backside of that, Sean, that's why we appreciate the hunters, because when we do get a piece of equipment stolen, that's some of the first people to reach out to is, hey, does anybody have texting cameras on this property? All that sort of stuff becomes real key evidence.
That's good, because I think about the number of cameras in urban settings, mm-hmm. right? And how many, Yeah, I talked to folks in law enforcement. They say, listen, we depend on that too. There's so much. I mean, you still have to do regular police work, but there's so much camera footage out there, you know, of so many places. You think about that in town.
Yeah.
But you're on it. You know, most of us are running a gajillion, to be a technical term, cameras in the woods too.
So. Well, our wives might be listening, so we won't say how many, but
we have
a few cameras out. But I'll tell you, we've routinely in the past, especially when we're searching for a subject, a wanted subject that's at large, we've often got calls from people that their texting camera went off and alerted us that somebody just walked by.
How about that? Make sure either you got solar or the batteries are charged up on those cameras right now. Coming right back with Sheriff Lowry on Midday Mobile.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right at 12:21, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. I don't know if I should read y'all's text here as Sheriff Lowry, our guest this hour, because it's all everybody showing me how they know how to use a universal key and turn on different equipment. Y'all, I'm going to report you directly to the sheriff here. Y'all's knowledge is dense on this. But it is interesting to think about the county, Baldwin County, being so rural in some places. I mean, it's so urban in some places, but it's so rural. You talk about the north end.
Yeah, in some places, the north end up there, it's really beautiful. It's untouched. You get in that little river community.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Chrysler, Little River, all that.
Yeah, those are great pieces of Baldwin County.
Yeah, but I mean, that's also being a sheriff's department, that's in y'all's, I mean, even though the whole county is, at least at the municipal settings, you have additional law enforcement up there. It's y'all.
Yeah, and, you know, the crime rate's really low, and so it's hard to keep deputies, you know, happy and active up there. You know, it's one thing to patrol, but it's one thing.
I want y'all to go out of business. I wish we lived in a world where y'all went out of business, but.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen either. But so it takes an effort to stay focused up there, and I'm really proud of the guys for doing that.
I want to check in on a couple of stories here that people have texted about. First of all, the update on I dubbed it this, the sheriff didn't, but. You added a playground. No, the playground determination for the Baldwin County Jail and now being able to detain or put.
Yeah, I think it was a rec area or something is what it was called.
I was the one who called it a playground.
That's right. That's right. So we're back in business, basically. I can tell you that.
So, what does that mean? So you get the green light from the feds.
We got the green light from the feds that we could now hold ICE detainees up to 72 hours.
Okay.
And so basically what happens when someone is detained by ICE, they can now bring them to the Baldwin County Jail. They don't have to take them to Mississippi right away, or they don't have to take them to Louisiana because we're back where we can hold them. And essentially, if they make two runs a week, that keeps the 72-hour thing in check.
Okay.
And so you can do mass transport.
Instead of hauling onesie-twosies.
Instead of the onesie-twosie. Okay. That keeps people in the field doing the things that they need to be doing instead of doing a lot of transporting.
I'm going to go back to this, even though it's been solved now. But when the sheriff and I had this first conversation, the rec yard requirement, it didn't matter for somebody that was arrested and taken to jail that was an American.
No, it didn't matter at all. And
you were allowed to take them there. But if somebody was an illegal immigrant, the previous administration in Washington said they had to have better or different rights than
basically,
the Americans?
The easiest way to explain this is there were 10 or 12 pages of regulations that you had to meet to hold an illegal immigrant. Not a U.S. citizen, but an illegal immigrant. And I'll give credit where it's due. Senator Britt and Coach Tupperville, they got the regulations cut back to literally two pages. And we were able to comply without any problems, which we knew we would. And so we're back up and running. We're happy to do it. I mean, it really helps our federal partners a lot, probably more than it even helps us. The big picture is it gets everybody back to doing what they should be doing instead of transporting all the time.
And that makes sense because you were talking before about the transporting to Louisiana. They were having to do that every time.
Every time. So when you figure – and if they had the southern district of Alabama or the middle district of Alabama, and they're having to take them all the way from Auburn all the way over to over there. You're losing a day.
Yeah.
Just doing that.
Versus being able to bring them to Baldwin County.
Yeah, I can bring them to Baldwin.
For 72 hours, and then they go, okay, we have a van full or whatever to take.
Right. And that was one of the things I'll say Tom Holman said that he was going to do was try to get where more jails throughout the country, not just Baldwin County or the state of Alabama, but throughout the country to open those jail doors for these ICE detainees. So hopefully we're moving in that direction.
Yeah, when you first told me about it, I was thinking, okay, well, I want to make sure, you know, even if somebody's illegal, that we have a facility that's right for holding them. But then you pointed out to me, it's the same facility for an American citizen mm-hmm. you would take them to.
Right.
So,
and we have other, you know, the whole time we held federal inmates, and I've actually talked with the marshal, when our new jail comes online, we'll have it increased capacity, and we'll have the ability to have more federal inmates.
Well, it looks like, well, at least on the detainee side, you're going to have more. I mean, you got any numbers for me? It's been just... It's not just every week. It's than once a week.
I will say that the raids have slowed down maybe just a little bit, but there's still at least once a week that we get a group in, and the onesie twosies coming in have really picked up too. We've noticed that, so that's good.
Have you? And I don't know how you assess this, but with having deputies out there, do you see that there's people? I mean, I figure if I'm here illegally. And I see that they really are enforcing this stuff. And they're probably going to come around to me eventually. I just self-deport or I go somewhere else.
Yeah. That's
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I think that you're seeing some people that left Baldwin County because it's been pressured so heavily. So I think that you've seen some people move out of our community. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I think a stat that like Mobile and Baldwin County accounted for some large percentage of the detainees in the state of Alabama. I don't know what percentage it was, but it was
heavy.
I think
I was told like 85% or something.
Okay,
yeah,
so
it was a huge number, absolutely. That's the number.
So y'all think
told.
About that, out of the entire state?
Yeah, out of the entire state, 85% out of Baldwin County. You know, and that's my point. I get
that's
to...
That's, y'all stop for a second. That's huge.
And we know that in Mobile and Birmingham and Montgomery that there's some... sure enough, violent illegals that are in these cities as well. And
they got
trend
to Aragua here.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I want to get back to going after, you know, those guys first, you know.
Yes.
Because you're getting not only somebody illegal, you're getting a criminal off the street at the same
somebody
time.
Who's gonna harm somebody else.
Yeah, somebody's putting somebody's life in danger.
How do you do that? How do you make sure you're trending more towards, I mean, that's what we were told by Holman and everything, that we were gonna go after the bad hombres first, right?
Well, I think it's you know, from my point as sheriff, it's me talking with ICE and when they're coming to Baldwin County and trying to cooperate with them and making sure that they understand that's how we prefer to work it, that, you know, we want to go after these people. And I'll tell you that the ICE people here in Mobile have been nothing but great to work with. So that they're super friendly. They communicate really well, probably some of the best communication we've had in our history with our federal partners. So I've been really proud of that.
Are they doing their own... I don't know, the investigation or surveillance and then finding the place that they're going to go?
Yeah, you know, I think it's more like that they're working complaints, you know, just kind of like the sheriff's office does. You get a complaint about something going on, you go in and investigate it, and if your investigation...
So somebody's calling in and saying...
Yeah, that's what happens.
It's, so they call in, then ICE says, okay, we've got...
They assign investigators to look into it, and if they believe it's valid, then they act on it in a way that they deem appropriate. And some of those we assist on, especially if there's some tendency to have some violent crime involved, and, you know, we're happy to do it.
So in that case, and we've talked about it before, that y'all are not the arresting agency.
No, we're
ICE
not.
Is the federal, because it's immigration, it's federal, but you're there to assist ICE with the memorandum of understanding.
Yeah, well, we could just do it because we want to. We don't have an MOU with them. We do have task force officers assigned to them, though. That's how we really get engaged.
What does that mean when you have what is?
So we have deputy sheriffs that are assigned to Homeland Security to work Homeland Security cases. They're sworn in as federal officers.
Okay, even though they're a Baldwin County deputy, they
right.
have the rights of
mm-hmm.
the...
Right. And Sheriff Birch, same thing in Mobile County, yeah.
All right, coming back, got y'all's questions coming in at 343-0106. We'll ask them to Baldwin County Sheriff Anthony Lowry, our guest this hour on Midday Mobile. And a reminder, too, I don't know why I'm doing this, because I was hoping I could come back this weekend from 120th into College Pick'em, but make sure you get your College Pick'ems in before tomorrow. I mean, I'd rather you not, and I'd rather you just have a blank week, and then I could move up, but... They made me say that, so you get your picks in.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, and your chance to ask the sheriff, Baldwin County Sheriff Anthony Lowry, our guest. I do want to talk about this as well. You got a classes. Y'all did one Foley the other day?
Well, so I did a speaking engagement in Foley, but I talked about this class that we have going South Outpost in the Malbus to the Eastern Shore Shopping Center. We partnered with them. They've been great to us. Josh South, the owner. They've been really generous to our foundation over the years and really good community partners, people that we enjoy being partners with. And we get so many requests for handgun classes. And
I'm glad you're saying this because all y'all that asked me on the text line, here we go, Sheriff's about it.
And so we get all these requests for handgun safety classes and some familiarity with your gun, all of those sort of things. So they stepped up and they're willing to do the class. You sign up through them. They're at no charge. And then they'll actually, as part of the class, bring you to our range, the sheriff's office range, and actually let you fire the weapon. So
I bet you and it's not just people might say, I know how to, I know how to pull the trigger. I know how to, load the magazine. I know how to put one in the chamber. I know how to pull the trigger. That ain't all of it.
No, that's not even close to being all of it. I get the question all the time, should I carry a handgun? Should I not? And my answer is, that's a very personal decision. But if you do, spend a lot of time behind it, using it. Know how to use it. Know how to shoot. Know what's going to happen if it jams. How do you fix all those sort of things? And then understand the burden that you're carrying with you too.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about that on this show all the time. I mean, it's a concealed carry permit, a very strong 2A, but I do take it very, very seriously. And I think about the practice level. Never make up for the practice level for law enforcement. Right. Do it, or my friends that are either active or retired military. I often will joke with them. I'm like, y'all did this as a job. And they're like, well, unfortunately, it could be your job one day, to do that. Because their training level is so much higher than mine has been. But they said, it's not crazy to ask civilians. Now, these boys run a lot of rounds, but they said it's not crazy to ask civilians to have that kind of familiarity with that specific handgun they're going to carry with no question, in the dark, everything about it. And I think a lot of people feel like, well, I got my gun. I'm good. I'm safe now.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, a gun's a heck of a deterrent, obviously, but you really need to know how to use the gun. And if you're ever in a situation that you had to use it, you don't want to injure somebody that accidentally. Collateral damage is not something you certainly want if you had to defend yourself. And so it's all those things you need to consider. That's why, again, I like partnering with people like that to get, I have a lot of friends that shoot guns and they do all that sort of stuff. And we try to teach our friends how to shoot, law enforcement, like you're talking about there. But it's good. They have a NRA certified range master that'll be there to teach and do what Mr. Landowitz will be there to handle that. And it's a really good program.
Is it, and we'll come back to it once again, how to sign up for the course, but it's what is it? A day? Is it 12 hours? Is it 6?
I don't remember exactly how many hours they put into it. And of course, you can get all that information from South's Outpost.
South's Outpost, okay.
Yeah. In Malbus. But it's a classroom portion and actually the shooting portion. So really good stuff. And people ask where to go. That's one of the places. Most of the ranges in Baldwin County will have a range master there that can teach you some stuff. But this is more one-on-one.
That's a great thing.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Good for them stepping up.
Yeah, we're proud to be a partner with them in this situation, and hopefully people use it. We started it last month, and it kind of started slow. We have another class, I think November the 15th, we're trying to put together.
Okay, that's the next one.
Yeah, and if we can, I think that they're willing, and we're willing to try to do one a month if we can.
Okay, so they need to contact South Outpost
and
say we're interested in the course?
Yeah, in the handgun safety course, along with the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office.
Okay, and that's November 15th.
November 15th, yes.
All right. This one from Jason. How successful were Baldwin County deputies we see on I-10 between Wilcox and the Florida line?
How successful are they?
Yeah, I don't know what they're... This is,
well, I'll go to... I don't know how you measure that success, necessarily by numbers, but... That's our interdiction group, and they work I-65 as well, so they kind of split time there. But I'll tell you, they they bring a lot of drugs off the street, and you know, the human trafficking thing now is large, probably more so than it's ever been. And you know, they spend time on making consensual contacts around truck stops, doing all those things in conjunction with working that interstate. You know, anything that you can do to try to make sure that, you know, one, they're following the law, but two, there's not somebody kidnapped or something else going on out there too.
You know, when we first started, and I forget, maybe it's 10, 15 years ago, whenever the term human trafficking, mm-hmm. maybe it existed, but it got into my sphere, and I heard it, and I thought, this is a small percent. This is a thing. Okay, I understand what they're talking about. I'm not dumb. I understand, mm-hmm. but I'm like, this can't be. It's not that widespread. And then you had the stories about people at the Super Bowl games where they're running women there to those, and then I'm like, okay, well, it's a high profile. It's Las Vegas. It's holy cow.
Yeah, see, Sean,
this is going on.
Yeah, it goes on all the time. I mean, the Super Bowl is what a 2-week event, but they fill up the rest of the week. Rest of the year doing these things too throughout the country.
Right. I thought, you know, when it first came up, I'm like, it's a Las Vegas thing. It's still horrible. But now in the decade since past, I'm like, this is, I don't know, rampant's the right word, but I mean, you're making bust on this all the time that people are, it's horrible.
Yeah, it is. And it's, and I'll tell you, it's something that, you know, we try to focus on, and the men and the women that work in those units, they're really well trained. And they go throughout the country, actually get specialized training. And one thing, that group in particular, they stay ahead of the curve as far as interdicting goes. They have many partners throughout the country. And, of course, their network, the law enforcement network, is very strong. Mm-hmm. Probably not as strong as the cartel network. They're always going to be changing, doing things differently. But those guys are dedicated to doing what they do.
Yeah, I mean, if y'all have not woken up to this like I've done over the last decade, just do a Google search for human trafficking, and let's make it, you can make it the Gulf Coast or make it Alabama. Like, because I'm, you know, I am somewhat of a homer. I'm going, you know, though people have problems elsewhere, I'm worried about my home. It's all over here.
Yeah, it's here.
These are people that are held against their will, forced to do a lot of different things. And this is going on in 2025.
Yeah, you know, forced against their will, or they've been coached into it to the point now that they don't even know
they're brainwashed.
Being, yeah, they just don't even know what's happened to them. So yeah, it is prevalent, and so and it's something that, you know, we're committed to. And again, I say this a lot, but we work with Mobile and we work with the feds on some of the stuff too.
We're glad y'all are doing it, and yeah. I'm sad that I was as ignorant to it. You know, 15 years ago, I mean, I knew it was a thing, but it's so widespread. It's hold your babies close, y'all. This texter says, what's the youngest the handgun class will teach? Do you know?
I'm assuming it's probably going to be 18 years old.
Okay. So 18, there you go. And once again, South Outpost is who you contact to do that. Let's go to the phones. And CB Carl, you're on with Sheriff Lowry.
Hello, how are y'all?
Good.
You're echoing. Is that me? Anyway. I wanted to ask the sheriff a couple of questions. Can you hear me?
I got you.
Okay, yeah, you're echoing there. I turned my radio down. But anyhow, I've had some issues out here in Bon Secours, and I've tried to get y'all involved, but y'all always seem to like turn on me. And I texted before when you were on there before, Sheriff, and about this no crime, no report policy that y'all have. And you said that wasn't such a thing when I texted in about it.
Yeah, we'll take a report if a report is requested.
Well,
yeah.
That's not what happened. And actually, I went down before I had to call you guys out here. I've got a neighbor that I like to call it. He has a friend that it needs a vehicular male enhancement. And they were using my dead end street for a drag strip. So I went over there to try to stop him. Next thing you know, he's got his. I looked out here one day and his pit bulldog was nose to nose with my goat in the backyard. And he sits out there. He sat out there flicking cigarettes at me and everything. So I went to the office, the satellite courthouse there,
mm-hmm.
and they to make a report first rather than, you know, call you guys out here, because my idea was to go the neighbors rent the trailer to them, and I couldn't get the neighbor because the girl's friends with them. Her father passed away, and now her mother had a stroke. Now she runs everything for her. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get them involved, so I thought I would get a report from you guys and find their property owners' insurance people and explain it to them. Yeah. Well, when I went down there, they told me I had to wait 10 days to get a copy of the report, and then they charged me, I think, $6 a page, and then they redacted everything off of it, even my words. Well, they just redacted everything.
Yeah, that's part of the law there that has to be redacted.
Yeah, well, then I call them out here, and when they come out here, they go to the neighbor's house first, and then they come over to my property and tell me I need to leave them alone.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I tell you, we can look into that for you. If the station, Sean, if you guys will get his number from the text line, if mm-hmm. you'll text us your information, we'll reach out to you about this.
Yeah, because I asked I don't know if I should use his name, but the deputy I asked him about the report, and he said no crime, no report. We don't do anything like that.
Yeah, that's just not
and
accurate.
I said, well, you want his name?
Not over the air.
Okay, I didn't think that was a good idea. But anyway, I told him, I said, so you're just going to let this go on until it escalates and goes too far. Because the guy was letting two pit bulls on my property, threatening me with pit bulls, telling his girlfriend to hit me in the street when I was out in my own, you know, driveway. And I told the officer, so you're going to let this go on until things escalate? And he said, well, I've got you on video now saying that it's going to escalate. So if it does, we know to blame you.
Okay. Well, we're starting to look into it.
Well, I tried, but nobody wants to. I mean,
let's do this. This is the beauty of this show. I'm gonna put you together. I'm gonna get
you. Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk about this, and we'll get up with you. We can talk to you this afternoon about it. But yeah, the no report, no crime thing. That's nice. If people need a report, we want to give them a report.
Okay, well, let's make sure it happens. CB Carl, appreciate the call. Let's go to, let's see, click through here. It is. I think this is James in Mobile. Is this James?
It is. Yeah, you got it.
All right, good deal. You're on with Sheriff Lowry.
Thank you, Sheriff. Quick question about handgun carry. I know previous to the not needing a concealed carry permit, you did not have to, if you were in a situation where you interacted with police officers about anything, that you didn't have to tell the officer that you were armed.
That's right.
That you were carrying. Has that changed since there is no longer a concealed carry permit?
Yes,
I know there is a concealed, since it's no longer required in Alabama.
Yeah, you have a duty to notify the law enforcement officer that you have a gun.
I understand that it's a duty, but is it a law?
Yeah, it's in the law, yes. That's what I'm saying.
So now that we went to permitless carry, you do have a duty to inform the officer or the deputy.
Mm-hmm.
Understood. That was my question. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Hey, good question, James. Appreciate you calling in. Let's do this. We'll run to the break here and come right back. More with Sheriff Lowry. 343-0106. And by the way, too, it's got to be the same for Baldwin County. Well, I just did a renewal. Y'all, 3 or 5 year, don't do a lifetime if you want the money to stay.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Program.
If you want to stay in your county, don't do the lifetime.
Okay, we'll double down that when we come back. Y'all, I don't know if it was by design or omission or commission, but it's in the law.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, and your chance to ask the Sheriff Lowry, our guest here, for another 7 or 8 minutes here. The couple here on the text line we can get to, and then we'll take them on the phone line as well at 343-0106. Some interest here on the handgun class. Once again, call South Outpost.
Yes,
so Google that.
Yeah, it's in the Eastern Shore Center. and they'll be happy to take care of you. We're really excited about it, actually, Sean, and the interest here. I appreciate people taking interest in it.
Yeah, that is good. And what a kind of a cool bonding thing, too, for a couple to go do with one of your older children or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a good idea.
Yeah, I'd like to do. I've got one of mine that she's good shot, and you know, but there's all the other stuff that comes with it. She's like, well, Dad, what? I'm like, you can shoot the gun.
Yeah.
When I put everything together for you, you're good at shooting the gun, but that's just part of it. If you have to have a permit, do you tell the officer that you're, if you do have a permit, okay, here's Jerry in Fort Morgan. If you do have a permit, do you have to tell the officer that you're armed?
Yeah, I think the law is that you
got overall.
Yeah, I think that's part of the new law when they passed it a couple years ago. That section was put in there.
And Jerry says that he always does, but he was wondering, you know, he said, I always tell them if they ask. You know, I've done it in the past where I've given both IDs.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
to me, it's just the basic courtesy to do that, to get everybody.
Yeah, and so I don't nobody, want to be nervous around.
Nobody, and I'll tell you, that'll help, you know, discharge some of the nerves from the deputies or the officers that you interact with, too. So it benefits everyone.
Michael says to Sheriff Lowry, think that every illegal alien is a criminal, or does he think they have to break numerous laws to be considered a criminal?
So under the statute of the law, somebody is here unlawfully, that's actually a civil issue to start with. And only when they're told to be deported to leave the United States and they refuse to do so, does that become a criminal act.
Okay, so there's one extra step.
Under the federal code, that's right.
Okay, so they're here. Okay, this is education. So mm-hmm. here they're in the country illegally.
It's a civil deal.
Once somebody says you got to go,
mm-hmm.
and they don't go, then it becomes criminal.
That's right.
Okay. After all these years, got an education on that. Thank you.
Yeah. So and there's plenty of those people out there too. That's the hope that you're targeting them when you do these raids. Most of the
people that have already been told.
Yes, people that's the target of most of these, especially in the residential areas. That's going to be the target.
I want to ask you too. You're talking about interdiction and all that, and this is something that also relates with illegal immigration, the border. Talk to Sheriff Birch about it, talk to you about it, that it seems, and correct me if something's changed, that the fentanyl flow has slowed coming?
I think it has slowed. That's, you know, we've seen that.
I know that's probably hard to put a finger on, but you look.
Well, we've seen that directly in our seizures on the interstate, and our drug task force has kind of seen the same thing. But just know that it's slowed for now. It's too much business.
They're going to find a way.
It's too much. Yeah, that's right. You've got to get the product to market. And so we may see it coming in through our ports. We may see it coming back, you know.
It's going to go back Miami Vice style. What we saw the boats coming out. Yeah,
exactly. You know, that Miami Vice, that big OCDEF group was really run out of Tampa to handle all this organized drugs coming into the United States. And I had a friend that was ahead of that unit. And the trade routes, the smuggling routes are just unbelievable down there. And I think what you're going to see is those pick back up.
Yeah, it's because I think back, I hearken to when we had meth and locally cooked meth or whatever was such a big problem here. Mm-hmm. And then talking to Sheriff Cochran. And when they did the anti-smurfing laws and did all these things to slow it down, he came in. I like to hear things like unvarnished truth. He said, I'm not going to stop people doing meth. It's just going to, they're just not going to be blowing up, burning kids and blowing up houses while they're doing it. It's going to come in from somewhere else as long as people want to do the stuff. He said, what I did here is to defend public safety in neighborhoods and families and stuff like that. I'm not stopping. There's no way that stops meth.
No. Might drive the price up a little bit, but that's about it. It's going to come.
Because it started coming in from Mexico,
That's right. And that, you know, that was a precursor to getting all this really high-end methamphetamine out of China and lab meth out of the South America coming to the United States.
Yeah, it seems like that would be the chance to, you know, where's the bottleneck? And it seems like, I know that there have been the videos of the boats coming out of Venezuela and mm-hmm. the hits on them, but it seems like if there'd be any way to board and stop a freighter coming out of China with this stuff heading to Mexico. I mean, I know there's a lot of other stuff comes from China and Mexico, so yeah. It's not like, oh, there's that boat, but it seems like a ship's coming in. You get it all at one time, you know, versus letting it spread.
And, you know, as technology improves, you got to think about the drones and the abilities, that how their increased ability is getting what, over the past 5 years, how much drones have improved and the ability and capability of a drone. Think about that for smuggling purposes in the future. You know, that, those are the things
they were running across the border like crazy.
Yeah, nothing to get it across the border, you know, on a drone. You're over the top of the fence. So
I mean, it's I mean, I've talked about this on the military side, and I think we're seeing that in Ukraine and Russia, that this is, you know, the war started, not that there weren't drones in the mix, but the war started, and then, like every war, new technology emerges during the war that becomes the technology that leads you into, unfortunately, probably the next war.
Sure. Right
there. All right. Once again, if you want the course, South Outpost, call them. It's November 15th.
November 15th, the next class.
Okay. This is good because people ask me about this a lot. So
absolutely. We're excited about it.
And if people want more information, website for the Sheriff's Department or where they go, what's the best thing?
Yeah, you can just go, you know, most of our stuff we put on our Facebook, and hopefully next month I'll talk about our app that we've got kind of that's going to really kind of revolutionize where we how we get our information to people. But right now, go to our Facebook and you can go to our website from there.
Good stuff. Good to see you, Sheriff.
You too. Thank you.